We have published a number of translations over the years, and I asked John Samuel Tiemann, a very fine poet in his own right, who translated a poem we have in The Best of River Styx, to come up and read Ernesto Cardenal's poem for Marilyn Monroe in translation. John Samuel Tiemann.
Prayer for Marilyn Monroe. Lord, accept this girl known over the world by the name of Marilyn Monroe. Though that was not her true name, but you know her true name, the name of the orphan raped at age 9, and the name of the shop girl who once tried suicide at 16, who now presents herself before you without her makeup, without her press agent, without photographs and signing autographs, alone as an astronaut facing the dark night of deep space. While still a girl, she dreamed she was nude in a church, according to copy filed by Time, before a prostrate multitude with their heads on the ground. And she had to tiptoe in order to avoid stepping on the heads. You know our dreams better than the psychiatrists. Church, house, den, all are the security of the maternal womb, but also something more. The heads are admirers, clearly, the mass of heads in the darkness beneath the beam of the screen. But the temple is not the studio of 20th Century Fox. The temple of marble and gold is the temple of her body, in which the Son of Man stands with his whip in his hand, driving out the money changers of 20th Century Fox, who made your house of prayer a den of thieves. Lord, in this world contaminated by sin and radioactivity, you do not only blame a shop girl alone, who, like any shop girl, dreamed of being a star. And her dream was reality. Technicolor reality. She could not but act according to the script we gave her, the story of our life, the script of the absurd. Forgive her, Lord, and forgive all of us for our 20th century, for this colossal superproduction in which we all had a hand. She hungered for love, and we offered her tranquilizers. For the sadness of not being a saint, we recommended psychoanalysis. Remember her growing hatred of the camera and the hatred of the makeup? She insisted on fresh makeup for each scene, and how her terror grew, and how her tardiness grew. Like any shop girl, she dreamed of being a star. And her life was as unreal as a dream a psychiatrist interprets and files. Her romances were a kiss with closed eyes that, when the eyes were opened, were uncovered by the spotlight. Then the spotlight was turned off and the crew struck the two room walls. It was a set. While the director walked off with the screen, this scene now a take. Or like a voyage on a yacht, a kiss in Singapore, a dance in Rio, the reception in the mansion of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, viewed from some slum tenement. The movie ended without the final kiss. They found her dead in bed, hand on the phone. And the detectives never discovered who she was going to call. It was like someone who has dialed the number of the only friendly voice and hears a tape saying, wrong number. Or like someone wounded, who is wounded by gangsters, who stretches out her hand for a disconnected phone. Lord, whoever it may have been she was going to call and didn't call, or maybe it was no one at all, or someone not in the Los Angeles telephone directory. Lord, you answer that call. Thank you.